You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
You take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
Business owners in Baltimore are breathing a sigh of relief now that the curfew has been lifted. AP correspondent Julie Walker reports.
Saga Dafla owns a convenience store near where the rioting took place, and the curfew meant he had to close early.
I lose money because those hours is really picking up for this neighborhood. Everybody get off from the work, especially on Saturdays and Fridays. I would be very busy.
Dafla estimates he lost $3,000, but he may be one of the lucky ones. Governor Larry Hogan says the city lost 200 businesses to rioting.
Most of them were minority-owned businesses. Many of them didn't have insurance.
The governor says hundreds of millions of dollars have been lost. Julie Walker, Baltimore.
The trial of Colorado theater gunman James Holmes has resumed with testimony about a call made from his cell phone to the University of Colorado Hospital moments before the 2012 attack. He is charged with killing 12 people and injuring 70 others. His attorneys acknowledge he was the shooter but pleaded not guilty by reason of insanity. Prosecutors say Holmes was sane and should be executed. The royal baby has a name. Officials say Britain's newborn princess has been named Charlotte Elizabeth Diana. She is the second child of Prince William and his wife Kate, and she is fourth in line to the throne. Stocks are moving slightly higher in midday trading, building on gains from Friday. Cognizant Technology Solutions jumped 9%, the most in the S&P 500 index. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
The weather this afternoon is going to be mostly sunny with a high near 84, southwest winds 14 to 16 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 54, and southwest winds is going to be 5 to 7 miles an hour. Tuesday, chance of showers with thunderstorms, possible after 1 p.m. Partly sunny. I don't know when that's going to be, but if you're going to have thunderstorms, I don't think it's going to be sunny, but with a high near 81. West winds 5 to 8 miles an hour, and the chance of precipitation is 40%. Tuesday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, and it's going to be mostly cloudy with a low around 57. Northwest winds around 5 miles an hour becoming calm. Wednesday will be a slight chance of showers before 10 a.m., and mostly cloudy with a high near 72. Northeast winds 5 to 7 miles an hour becoming southeast in the afternoon. And Wednesday night will be mostly clear with a low around 50. Welcome to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour of Radio. I'm Larry Cartwright. I'm filling in for Richard G. He had problems with his car and broke down and had to get it fixed. So I'm going to sit in for him. I just finished up my show prior to this, so it's, you know. And this is the Medical Center's Hour. Compliments on the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. We are very privileged today to have with us Tamara Bishara. Barisha. I said it wrong twice. and I even tried
You're
to phonetically do it. Who is the director of integrative medicine?
Yes.
And I never heard of integrative medicine. I've heard of acupuncture and stuff like that, but I've never heard of actually, you know, integrative medicine. You want to explain what that is?
Yeah, so I'll just give you a brief explanation of how the program began and what we're doing there now. So it was probably about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, that a woman in the community gave the 100 in Healthcare a donation as seed money to start an integrative medicine program. And it was in April of 2014, just this past April, that we, two Aprils ago, that the program was started. I began my position at 100 in Healthcare as a director, a program director of integrative medicine. We also have a medical director who is Dr. Monica Meyer. And we are building a program that incorporates different modalities, really modalities that are that have been used around the world for thousands of years to give people another choice. So basically what integrative medicine is that we're working in conjunction with the current medical staff at which is the conventional medical staff at Hunterdon Medical Center, and we started a program where we are now offering these other modalities: acupuncture, massage therapy, meditation, Reiki, Tai Chi, Qigong, yoga.
You lost me with Reiki. What's Reiki?
Reiki is a form of energy healing. And it comes from, it's a Japanese term.
Okay.
And it uses the energy systems within our body where a practitioner will, you can be taught to do Reiki on yourself using your own energy, or someone can do Reiki on you where it's they're using their hands with very light touch and holding different areas of your body to help regulate your energetics, if you want to say.
Okay.
Well, go ahead.
Go ahead. Finish it
so,
up there.
So that's that's what it is. Integrative medicine is a new term, if you may say, that's being used now. At one time, you would hear complementary or alternative medicine.
Okay.
And where the healthcare world is changing, because we don't want people to think that it's one or the other. We don't want people to think that if you're going to come to an acupuncturist, that acupuncturist is going to say, do not see your primary care physician, or don't go to see a specialist. We really want the using the term integrative medicine as opposed to alternative medicine. We want people to really know that all healthcare modalities are important. We're happy mm-hmm. that they're all there. They are all there to serve the greater good of the patient, and that now people just have a different choice. Maybe they're going to choose to go to their primary care and. Imagine someone has back pain and they go to their primary care, and the primary care can now say, we'll send you to an orthopedic, but also you might want to go to some physical therapy, and you might want to try some massage and acupuncture. Maybe even do some meditation to help reduce your stress levels and things like that. So it's just looked at as a more well-rounded treating the entire person as opposed to individual symptom.
I may have to look into that because I have back pain. I'm serious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of people have
ache,
back pain.
You know, mm-hmm. pain, that sort mm-hmm. of thing. I got to ask, how did you get involved in this?
I grew up in Hunterdon County.
Oh, native.
Hunterdon Central, yep.
All right.
Up there on the other end, White House and Reddington Township. And when I graduated from high school, I moved to New York, and I was going for school for a bachelor's degree in psychology. It was my plan to be a clinical psychologist, following the footsteps of my mother.
Oh, okay.
while I was there, I was someone who used to get strep throat every year. And at that time, I would go to my doctor and get my antibiotics, and then the next year it would come back. And so this particular time, I was in school I decided to go to school for massage therapy, to become a massage therapist in New York. That's an associate's degree, so it's a two-year program. So after I graduated with my bachelor's, I was in school for massage therapy, waiting to go to graduate school, and I got my annual strep throat. So someone said to me, well, why don't you go for acupuncture? And I said, I've always had an open mind to try anything new. So I said, sure, I'll try it out. So I still did go to my primary care, uh-huh. and I got my prescription for my antibiotic.
Your 10-day antibiotic.
I didn't take it. I got the prescription. I had the throat culture, and then I went to the acupuncture clinic at the school that I was going to.
Uh-huh.
And I remember laying down on the table, and after they put needles in my back and my neck and my feet, I started to feel the sensation of heat radiating off my body. Almost like, do you ever have sunburn and you can put your hand over your skin and you can feel that heat radiating off your body? So it was the same type of sensation. Well, you know, they took the needles out. I got up. I had fallen asleep during the appointment. And I went home, I went to bed, and I did not take the antibiotics. But when I woke up in the morning, my symptoms were completely gone. And I'm not advocating everyone should go get acupuncture for strep throat, because it can be a very serious condition without taking antibiotics for some people. But that was what I chose to do at that time. And I did see my primary care afterwards, and everything was good.
Right.
But that was my first experience ever having acupuncture, and it was pretty profound for me. And then I had some other friends that I had recommended to go to acupuncture after that for different things. You know, one was a friend of mine had fallen down steps and was told they needed surgery, and they went to acupuncture instead, and within 3 or 4 treatments, pain was gone. And to this day still has not had a surgery and does not have chronic pain. So there was a lot of things like that happening. So I, you know, just began my research, and then I started studying herbal medicine and did not go to school for the master's or the doctor in clinical psych. I went to school for the master's in Chinese medicine instead.
Interesting.
But yeah, it was definitely a journey of understanding new ways of treating and lifestyle and
I think that over the last couple of years it's become more well known,
I'd say,
than prior. You never, like when I was growing up, you never heard of acupuncture.
No. I was a kid, I never thought of, you know, when I was graduating high school, I didn't think to myself, oh, I want to be an acupuncturist.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like, because it wasn't something that was like publicized
the first time that acupuncture actually came to the United States was through President Nixon, actually.
Uh-huh.
He went over to China, and one of his, it was in the 1970s, I believe the early 70s, he went over to China, and he had one of his reporters who wound up needing to have an emergency appendectomy, and they used acupuncture there for the pain prior to, and then I believe for anesthesia during the surgery, and then also after, and to help him in recovery. And they brought it back and spoke about it, wrote about it, and the results. And then after that, you saw the doors opening for acupuncturists. There was acupuncture before that, but it was not. It was looked at as hocus pocus.
Yeah. No. Really. Because
actually, one of a woman that I went to school with, that I know from school, she had a place in Asheville, North Carolina. Her name's Sissy Majebe, and she was one of the first people to really treat in acupuncture. And back in that day, in the late 60s, her office was raided. She actually went to jail because they didn't think that the needles were something that she should be using. And, but now she wrote the laws for North Carolina. So it's come a long way.
But you know, just prior to this show and the previous show that I was just doing, we were talking about mental health issues and, you know, mental illness and so on and so forth. And I was saying that I'm very open to various things. Never used to be. Mm-hmm. I have a very closed mind, but as you can ask my wife. But since my youngest son got ill and was hospitalized for almost 3 years and in and out and, you know, hospitals and so on and so forth, I've been very open to various techniques, if you want to call them that. Mm-hmm. And the norm, fine if it works, but if it doesn't, you try something else. And I was saying earlier that there was a young lady in California who was on the show via phone, pardon me, and she suffers from severe depression and bipolar disease. And we were talking, and I says, well, what do you do? What kind of medications do you use? She says, well, I don't use medications. I don't like medications. I said, well, what do you do? She says, well, I do holistic, and I work out at the gym. I said, okay. I says, how does it work for you? She says, it's doing great. And this is a young lady who attempted suicide twice a couple years back. And, you know, mm-hmm. and I says, you know, and the holistic works for you? She says, yeah. She says, it's working fine. I says, well, continue it. You know, keep mm-hmm. doing it. You know, yeah. whatever works, you know, what works for you may not work for me, but whatever works, you do, you know. And pardon me. I says, what the... The only thing I say to you is that down the road, if it is not working 100% like it is now, you may have to work a medication in with it, along with the holistic and the exercise, just to get you continuing to go. I said, but if it doesn't, hey, knock yourself out. Keep it up. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a very, very good friend of mine who has been, I don't know, 8 years now, diagnosed with cancer all through his body and everything, and he takes very few medications. His is all natural,
herbal
and natural right. medication and stuff. And he, you know, yeah. he still has it, and yeah. he's still here, you
yeah.
know.
Well, there's this,
and they didn't give him a year to live when they yeah. diagnosed him, and that was like yeah. 7-8 years ago,
yeah.
so,
yeah.
you know.
Well, there's a statistic that came out in 2013, which is that about 70% of the population is using some form of holistic or integrative medicine, where you could think of supplements, you know, uh-huh. yoga, acupuncture,
right.
massage therapy, you know, kind of coupling all those together as integrative therapies. And that there's about $34 billion that's spent annually on those modalities, on those services. So, but the one piece of that statistic that stands out to me is that 30% of the people using these modalities are not telling their primary care physicians or their specialists. And the reasons given for that is that, number one, they're saying that they don't know that they would be supported. Number two, they may feel like that it's just not important. You know, what do they need to know for?
Well.
And that, I think that's the bridge that we want to gap here, is that we want to educate the medical world, the conventional medical world, because up until recently, a lot of these things weren't taught in medical schools.
Right.
So they really don't understand the concept behind it. And so part of what my mission is here at the Hunterdon Integrative Medicine Program is to do educational programs, not only for the community, but also for the medical staff, which we have been doing, so that when it comes time to say, well, if one of their patients says, I was thinking about acupuncture, what do you think? Number one, they're gonna say, oh, well, I remember that presentation. Let's send them over to the integrative medicine program or to another acupuncturist in the community if they have someone that they,
right.
that they know. And you know that, and that's really where we want to take this. That the patient has the option that they feel comfortable with talking to all of their medical professionals
exactly.
about this, and then that the medical world has the enough knowledge to be able to refer to the right person or to the right place where they feel comfortable that the patient is going to have have exceptional
mm-hmm.
care.
Do you find that the medical employees, lack of
yeah.
a better word,
MDs, nurses,
you know, RNs
yeah.
and stuff, do you find that they're acceptable to this,
that
or
the
that they're more
I can
on
tell
the
you
line?
The support in the Hunterdon healthcare community has been amazing. Our practice has been welcomed in most of the departments, the specialty departments at the hospital.
Okay.
I've gone in and was asked to do presentations. We did a grand rounds for the medical doctors, and that was, you know, a lot of people showed up.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that there definitely are some people that either aren't interested or don't know enough, and their lives are so busy that it's not something that they're opening up to. But I'll definitely tell you that the majority of the medical world, we see it all over, healthcare changing. We see it.
Right.
You know, it's all over the news. It's all over Dr. Oz and Oprah. That's all they're talking about. You know, so it is everywhere. So I think, you know, in order to stay with the times, that it's important for at least people to the medical world, the medical staff, to know, to understand enough about what these modalities are about to be able to refer, or to even say, you know what, I don't know that much about it, but we have an integrated medicine program at the hospital. Why don't you give them a call? And know that, you know, that we are, that we really have, we have exceptional staff. We have a credentialing system that each person that that gets hired within our program, they go through a extensive interviewing. They go through a credentialing committee, which has MDs on it. It has hospital, high up hospital administration on it. So we really are, you know, looking for, and not to say that there's not other qualified practitioners out there, because 100% there is, but at least within the system, within the hospital system, the medical staff will know where they're sending their patients and what the credentials are.
Now, you're a part of the hospital, right?
Yes, it's not a separate employee.
I was just, you know, trying to clear that up on my own head. You know,
under Hundred in Healthcare. Hundred in Healthcare is the parent organization, and then there's Hundred Medical Center, and then there's Hundred in Regional Community Health.
Okay.
And then the Hundred in Partnerships.
Right.
So which is the individual doctor's offices, practices.
Right.
Okay. So we are under Integrative Medicine is under Hundred in Regional Community Health, along with hospice, visiting nurses, Lifeline, all of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
Now, we talked about acupuncture being more popular.
Yes.
You know, today. Mm-hmm. What do you use it to treat? I mean, is there a limit on what it can be used to treat, or is it just about anything? Or
so the when someone comes in for an acupuncture appointment, we have a full health history and physical. An initial consultation, which will last about an hour and a half. So people will usually come to me with a specific symptom, you know, whether it's pain, back pain, neck pain. Sometimes it's something internal, gastrointestinal problem. Sometimes it could be migraines. I mean, really, they can come with any sign and symptom that they have. We're looking at the person as a whole, so we don't really just treat a symptom. When a person comes in, I want to know what their main complaint is, of course.
Right.
But what we're then doing is talking to them about their emotional life, their spiritual life, their physical health, their emotional health. We want to know what their sleep patterns are. We want to know what their digestive patterns are. We want to know, like, all of these things, because you're really treating a whole person. And to give you an example of that, imagine, you know, you come to me and you have back pain, and another person comes to me and they have back pain. There's a couple local points that I could use that would be the same on both people, because, you know, I'm going to touch your back and it's going to hurt in these certain muscles, in these certain areas. So I might use those local points. But ultimately, we want to look at the root cause of the condition. So you have back pain, this other person has back pain, but maybe you also have osteoarthritis. Maybe you aren't able to sleep well. Maybe you have high blood pressure and, you know, frustrate easily.
All of the above.
And then you have another person that has low back pain, but maybe they also have knee pain and they feel cold all the time and they have incontinence and they just, you know, maybe get some depression. They don't like to go out very much. So you can see that those symptoms are very different. One has more heat symptoms along with it, but you both have back pain, right? So if I just put needles in locally for that back pain, it might help in the moment, but we really want to look at the whole picture and who you are and what your story is, how you got to that place of needing treatment, because now this one symptom is not allowing you to function normally.
Right.
So there may be some points that are the same locally, but all the other points are going to be different on you and the other person.
Right.
And that has to do with your individual story. So your symptoms tell me what acupuncture points to use. And there's over 360 acupuncture points, and they all have their own function. And not only do they have an individual function, but sometimes when you use certain acupuncture points together, they do something else too. So the whole premise is that acupuncture will help your body to clue into what its natural healing system is. And you know, in the Western culture, we're not as much taught that, but it is there. We're vibrational beings, and we're, you know, energy and matter. That's really, really all we are when you break it down. So we want to look at those energetic systems and see which ones are not working properly within you, and teach you what your signs and symptoms actually are, what message they're telling you.
Okay. That's interesting. No, I just, you know.
You know, we believe that that illness is your body's alarm system telling you something's not right in your life. And what is not right is, could it be physical? Could it be emotional? Could it be spiritual? It could be from all different places.
Right.
A combination of a whole bunch of things. So you know, it's like if there's a big fire, if you shut off the fire alarm, it doesn't make the fire go away, right? So you think of your one main sign and symptom as the fire alarm, but still there's something brewing in there. So you want to find out what's brewing. And not just turn off the fire alarm.
Right. No, that's very interesting. I like, you know, a lot of people, at least some of the people that I've spoken to, and I haven't spoken to that many that, you know, are familiar with acupuncture, but there are a couple, and they haven't actually done it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let me prefix that. They're afraid it's painful.
Right.
You know, and that's the big, well, I don't want to get needles, it's painful. You know, you think of a needle, it's painful. Well, I think, and this is only a observation from someone that has no clue about acupuncture, but you go to the doctor, all right, and he does a physical, and he says, all right, we want to take some blood, okay? So a nurse comes in, and which arm do you want it in? Well, I don't care. They take it from the left. They take it from the right, you know, whatever. Whatever, you know, whatever's happy for you. And I've had this happen where they couldn't find the vein.
Right.
And they kept saying, well, it rolls. Well, I have to get somebody else in. So they bring somebody else in. She goes, "Dink, I don't feel a thing." She gets the blood and it's, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, but some of the blood that I've had taken, the needle hurt like hell, you know, and others, I never even felt it, you know, and I mean never felt it. She says, we want to hold this, and I said, oh, it's over, you know, because I've got this thing, I can't look when they stick a needle in me.
I have to look.
Yeah, you better look, because you know, you're going to stick a needle in me, so you better look, you know, but I mean, you know, like when they take my blood, I'll look the other way. I can't, I mean, it doesn't bother me, they do it, but I can't just see it, you know.
Yeah,
I'll try to look this time when you do it, okay?
Well, one thing I'll say is that an acupuncture needle does not have a hole in it because I'm not injecting anything.
Okay.
So the gauge of the needle is very small. So small that when I'm holding the needle, I can run my fingernail along it and the needle will curl, almost like, you know, like ribbon will curl, kind of thing.
Right.
So it's very, very thin. And it comes in, the needle comes in a plastic tube. So you press the plastic tube against the skin and then tap the needle in. And the plastic tube actually works as a barrier to create less pain with the entrance of the needle, because it pulls the skin really tight when you press on it. So it is virtually painless. There definitely are areas that are a little bit more sensitive than others. You know, if I'm going to put an acupuncture needle in one of your fingers or something like that, there's less flesh there, so you're going to feel it a little bit more. But, you know, it's a prick. It's like, a small prick that you feel. And then once the needle's in, you know, there's not much of a sensation after that. Definitely not a painful sensation. I mean, some people will say that they feel it. Maybe it's itchy, or they know that it's there, but it's not a... you know, it's not a painful feeling.
It could be their mind, too, you know, they know the needle's there and, you know.
Right, and sometimes there are some acupuncture points that are in the belly of a muscle. So sometimes when you needle into that, your muscle might twitch a little bit because that trigger point is kind of breaking up. It's relaxing. And then sometimes people will say, oh, my muscle feels like it's cramping a little. But it's not something that they're,
you know,
take it out, ouch, ouch. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, could you adjust that? It feels like it's cramping a bit, you know, that kind of thing. It's not a situation where I've never had someone say to me, I'm not coming back because acupuncture is too painful.
Okay.
But you know how some people will have, you know,
but everybody has a different pain level, though,
yes,
too.
Yes, absolutely.
You know?
But you know how some people, you know, will say that I can't eat certain foods because of the texture or just the thought of this. So I've had people say the thought of having needles in me, it just freaks me out. So I've had people not come because
of
that.
Right.
But ultimately, it wasn't because they are saying it's too painful.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
I was just curious because, like I said, you know, I'm sure you've heard this too, that, oh, gee, you're using a needle. It's got to be painful, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
well,
like
when
I said.
We're ready. You let me
know. Well, how long does it take to do?
Just a couple seconds, and we can keep. We'll do, you know, a couple needles and. And you can just sit there with them, and you can report how you feel.
Okay.
And, you know, at this point, it's really more for demonstration purposes. It's not a full-on treatment.
Right.
I would need
to
do an initial consultation and everything. So the points that I'm choosing are just very general points that really help to reduce stress. If you
so it's like about 10 minutes?
Yeah, less than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. And then we'll be back, and I'll tell you how it feels to get acupunctured. We'll be right back.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Dave Lang with Insight Financial Services and a proud member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I believe that our participation and all of the opportunities that the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce offers to its members strongly contributes to our success.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to hold its second annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 13th from 12:30 to 6:30 at the Hunterdon County Fairgrounds in Ringo's. We thank our presenting sponsor, Hunterdon Healthcare, and the Hunterdon County Freeholders. Come get involved, be a vendor, an exhibitor, if you're a business or an organization. Come get before thousands of folks on this great day. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at HuntertonChamber.org. Once again, join us on Hunterdon County Community Day, Saturday, June 13th. Get involved with your community today.
Welcome back to the Hunterdon Medical Center's hour, compliments at 100 County Chamber of Commerce. I'm filling in for Richard G. My name's Larry Cartwright, and I'm probably going to go 0 for 3 on Tamara's last name, but Barisha?
Very good.
All right, I'm 1 for 4. You know. We've been talking about actually acupuncture, Tamara is the director of integrative medicine.
Yes.
At the Hunterdon Medical Center and Hunterdon Healthcare. And she's going to stick needles in me now. And so we're going to let her do it, and we're going to be on the air while she does it. And I can tell you whether it's going to hurt or not. You know, if I faint, then she's going to have to take over the rest half hour of the show. So.
I will. I like to talk. So what I'm going to do first is I'm just going to I'll do 5 points, acupuncture points on you.
Okay.
2 on each hand and 1 on the top of your head. That's the the acupuncture point on the top of the head. It's the one that helps to decompress you.
Okay.
So first what I'll do is I'll just wipe the points with an alcohol swab, and then we'll put the needle in. We'll put the needles in.
If you have to talk, you can use my mic.
Okay. So there's 2 points on the hand, and those acupuncture points are very commonly used. People have heard about them. The point is called Hey Gu, and it can really help to pull energy down from symptoms that are happening in the top of your head and your shoulder. So it can be used for shoulder pain, but it can also be used for headaches, stuffy nose, migraines, things like that. So as I said before, the acupuncture needles are very skinny, and they come in a plastic tube. So all I do is I press the plastic tube again. I'll start press the plastic tube against the skin, and then you just tap the needle in, and then I'll push it in just a little bit further. That's it.
I didn't feel it. And I've got a needle in my hand.
Uh-huh. So we're going to do the both points there. That's in between the thumb and the first finger. And then we will do a point on the elbow. It's also a point on the large intestine meridian. But that point can be used sometimes to help regulate your bowels. It can be used for heat in the body. And letting go, not holding on to things that you don't need to hold on to anymore in your life.
I just want you to know that when you have needles stuck in, it's always better to have a very attractive young lady do it for you, you know, because you know, now I'm getting one in my head. You know?
The top of your head. There you go.
So I've got 1 in each hand, 1 in each arm by the elbow, and 1 on the top of my head. And like I said, if you're going to have this done, it's always good to have a very attractive young lady do it, because it gets your mind off of her sticking a needle in you. But I didn't feel a thing. I have to be very honest. I would be, you know, I would tell you if I did, but I didn't. I didn't feel a thing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting because the needles are still in my hand and, you know, still where you put them. Uh-huh. So,
well, you know, people will tell me, can I move with acupuncture needles in? And I say yes all the time. If you're, I mean, you might be laying on the table and you may have more needles in than what I had put in you. But if you have an itch on your nose, scratch your nose. It's okay.
It's all right.
You know, and I'm right outside the door typically. So if, you know, if you move and you knock one and you feel like, you know, it feels a little uncomfortable, then I would just come back in and adjust it.
Okay.
But I always tell the story of what happened to me is that it was when my son, I have 3 kids, when my son was a baby, I had acupunctured myself, and I laid down on my bed and I put acupuncture needles in my stomach and my face, all over the front of my body, and I fell asleep. And at, you know, maybe around midnight, my son woke up. I heard him crying in his crib, and I just popped out of bed, you know, as any mother would, and
right.
I went into his crib. I picked him up, I rocked him back to sleep, put him back in his crib, and then I came back into my bedroom and I laid down went just like plopped down on my bed. And at that point, I realized, oh, I still have acupuncture needles in.
You lay face down on the bed?
I went to lay face down on the bed, and I realized, oh, look at that. I still have acupuncture needles in. So if I could get up, rock my baby back to sleep, and then lay back down again with acupuncture needles and probably about 15 of them in me, then you can scratch your nose.
Yeah, definitely.
Believe me.
But I find it amazing because it just, I didn't, like I said, I didn't feel you put one in, you know, I didn't feel a thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, so when people say, oh, it hurts, well, I don't know. Like I said, it didn't hurt me. I don't feel anything, I don't feel them in there or anything, you know.
Yeah.
And,
there's no negative side effects to acupuncture. There are times where there's been a time where I put an acupuncture needle in someone's face, and you know some people are more have more veins or veins around their face, or they have less flesh, like I said. So sometimes you might get a small bruise or a little drop of blood that comes out when you take the needle out, but it's nothing that that is really harmful or negative. It just maybe for that moment you have it's a little itchy and you get a little black and blue there. So that's really the worst side effect that you'll see.
I said it's, they say it's painful. Well, I didn't feel a thing, and I keep looking, they're still there. I can't see the one on top of my head, so I'm just assuming that's still there.
So when we are When you come to the 100 in Integrative Medicine program, you have two choices of acupuncture appointments. You can come to our clinic in Flemington at the 100 in Regional Community Health Building, and we have private treatment rooms there, so you can receive a private acupuncture appointment, which is the initial consultation is about an hour and a half, and then follow-up visits are about an hour. Initial consultation costs $100, and then follow-up visits are $75. Or you can come to our program either in Flemington or in Lambertville at Phillips Barber, and you can do a community acupuncture appointment. And in that setting, an initial consultation is $50, and then the follow-up visits are $25.
I ask a stupid question?
Sure.
Why is it different?
Because a private session, you're one-on-one with the practitioner.
Okay.
In a clinic setting, for the initial consultation, you are one-on-one with the practitioner, but your follow-up visits are in a community room, so there are other people. It gives the acupuncturist the ability to treat more than one person in that hour, so we can greatly reduce the cost to $25 and have that acupuncturist treating more than one person. So in that setting, in the clinic setting, there's no disrobing. We use lounge chairs, zero-gravity chairs. And they're a plastic mesh material,
right,
so we're able to wipe them down, so there's no transmission of any anything, and then there's no disrobing, so it's the points are going in from the elbows down, the knees down, maybe the head, face, neck, and most things can be treated effectively in the clinic setting, with the exception of anything that we wanted to do on your back. So if you do have back pain, when you're receiving acupuncture, there's two effects. There's a local effect and there's a systemic effect. So from a systemic effect, if you may be coming in for back pain, but I may put acupuncture points in your feet or in your hands, and you might think, "Oh, what is that for?" But there's energy pathways that go all through your body. But then there's also a local effect where if I put an acupuncture needle right into the area where you feel pain, there's a slight injuring of that area because there's a needle going in, right?
Right.
So it's going to increase blood flow to that area. It's going to have your body will release endorphins, nitric oxide, a whole bunch of different things happen in that local area. So when you're in the clinic setting, in most cases, most things can be treated in that clinic setting. But like I said, I can't do any points on your back because of the setup and no disrobing. So you don't get the local effect of acupuncture if I wanted to treat something on the back. But you still get the systemic effect. So it still is effective. It may feel different. And there have been moments where I have said to people, you know, I can treat you most of the time in the clinic, but I'd like you to at least have maybe once every 6 weeks have a private appointment,
private one,
so that we can really
okay.
address locally that pain also.
Do you accept insurance?
We are not taking insurance, but we do provide receipts for people to okay. submit themselves.
Okay.
And it depends on your policy, but there are a lot of policies now that are reimbursing up to 85% for acupuncture. But that is the other reason why we chose to do the clinic, so that for the people who don't have insurance mm-hmm. or the people that their insurance doesn't cover acupuncture, that we are also giving them a low-cost option that they can really still get.
Thought
get
just
payments.
Crossed my head.
Sure.
Medicare, Medicaid,
does not.
They don't cover it, right?
They do not. So most people will have secondary insurance,
mm-hmm.
and through Medicare or Medicaid or Medicare, I should say, acupuncture is a known non-covered procedure. So people can submit directly to their secondary. They don't have
okay.
to have it. They don't have to have it. Approved by
right.
Medicare
right.
first. They can just submit directly to their secondary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
you know,
it's.
I think in time we will start seeing it being covered. It's
well,
gonna
I just
take a little time,
I just but. Think that it, you know, there's a lot of people on it,
yeah.
you know, who may
yeah.
need it,
yeah.
you know, and
yeah. Yeah.
I understand the reason why
yeah.
you don't do it, you know, because the Medicare doesn't approve it, but,
yeah.
But like you said, most people have a secondary insurance.
Yeah.
And they could submit it to that. That's,
yeah,
so that's
yeah.
pretty cool.
And, you know, and having the appointments low cost, I know for people that are on a strict budget, that could even be a lot of money too. But ultimately, it does allow people to, you know, to have appointments that that wouldn't normally be able to do it.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Who would you recommend be treated by acupuncture?
Really,
anybody?
Anyone can come in for acupuncture. You know, again, we're not telling you to not see your primary care or your specialist. But, you know, acupuncture has been proven to reduce stress, to help with anxiety and depression and chronic pain. And but the most important thing is that acupuncture can be used for preventive medicine. And that's actually where I would like to see the medical system changing, is that a lot of times now when patients are coming in to see me, I'm their last resort. And they come in after they've had chronic pain for years and they've done the drug regimens, they've had the surgeries, and they're saying, you know, these other things weren't 100% effective, and now I'm living with chronic pain. If you can't help me, I have nothing else.
Right, right.
So I'd like to see that change to the effect that when the person is coming in, you know, early on, pre-diabetic, or, you know, early signs and symptoms of things before the whole medication
mm-hmm.
and before it becomes so chronic,
right.
to see them in the acute phases or the early onsets of the possible chronic conditions, so that we can begin to intervene at that point.
Is there any illness or condition that cannot be treated by acupuncture?
Because we don't believe that we're treating an illness or a condition, we're treating a person. I would say I can't really answer that question.
Okay.
I have a teacher that that says there's no incurable diseases, only incurable people.
Well, okay. But the reason I was asking is because I have what they call atrial fibrillation.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. And, you know, I take warfarin for it, and, you
yeah.
know, I
right.
you know, I don't feel it. I never did
right.
feel it.
Mm-hmm.
They discovered it
right.
purely by accident.
Mm-hmm.
At least I thought it was accident because I didn't feel it.
Yeah.
And they kept saying, you don't feel this? No, I don't feel anything,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I was just curious if, well, that's my needle's falling out here.
It's because you're moving a lot.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can take him out. Let's take him out.
All right.
So like I said, when you take them out, there could be a small drop of blood, but when I say drop, it's really tiny. And there was not any when I took yours out. So on the top of your head. All right.
Wow.
That's it. They're out.
They're out. Wow.
And then there, the, all the... all the needles are individually, they're sterile, they're individually used, individually wrapped, and then they go in a biohazard container after use.
Just like they would on any needle,
yes,
you know.
Exactly. Yeah. So what the best answer I can give you to that is, if you were coming to me, my goal would not be for your atrial fibrillation to go away. It would be to help you build a healthier lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll look at your diet. We'll look at your lifestyle. We'll also, address some other things that are going on. You have some puffiness under your eyes.
That's
there.
A lack of sleep.
So we'll talk about your sleep, digestion, all those things. And as you know, and as some of those other things begin to change, sometimes you may see those greater symptoms go away. But you'll also be working with, still be working with your specialist, your heart, your cardiologist.
Right.
You'll still
right.
be working with your primary care. So if there is a if you know as you know, maybe some weight changes happen and some other lifestyle things change. I mean, if you're not sleeping well, there's a whole host of problems that can come in from not sleeping well, and that even sometimes could be part of the heart
mm-hmm.
issues. So
right.
you know, so as some other things begin to your lifestyle begins to change, but it's a process, it's a journey. Even in terms of how you cope with stress, we even look at that and what your body does. So,
well, let me ask you something. I know it's hard to say, but how many treatments would a person need for, let's say, the simplest one? Which you would know more than I would.
So this is typically what I tell people when they ask that question, how often do I have to come? I'll say that I'd like to be able to focus on between 8 and 12 appointments.
Okay.
Depending on how acute the thing is and what's going on, if it's an athlete that comes in that had just sprained their ankle or had just broken something and they have their, they just get their cast uh-huh. off and they want to rebuild and they're seeing their physical therapist, but there's a lot of residual swelling and things like that, I might say come 3 times a week for two or three weeks, where if it's someone that's dealing with chronic Crohn's disease and we're going to look at their diet and we're
right.
going to look at all these other things that are going on with them, I might say come once a week for 12 weeks. But if we hit 8 weeks and you're feeling a lot better, then, and you've made
okay.
some lifestyle changes, then maybe we'll go now to once every 2 weeks or once every 3 weeks. And as we'll begin, because it is my goal actually for the people not to need to see me anymore. So part of my appointments, part of my appointments really are a lot of education and talking and helping them understand what their symptoms mean for them. And as they begin to get educated and they start making some of those changes that they need to make in their life, it becomes easier for them to say no to pizza every night or to say no to,
Right. No, I understand what you're
right.
saying.
So there is no easy answer to that. But I've had people come in. A woman coming in for hot flashes for menopause. And I saw her one time. And she called me up the next day and she said, I didn't have any hot flashes tonight. I want to come in next week. And next week she came in, she said, I haven't had any hot flashes. One treatment, you cured me. I said, I didn't cure you. You cured yourself. And then I didn't see her again for another 6 months. And at that point, something really stressful happened in her life and she had some hot flashes again. But she knew she wasn't eating good. So I gave her one treatment. We talked a lot and gone again. And now I still see her now. And she's like, she couldn't believe it. 2 appointments ever in her entire life. And then I've had other people that I had a business in Frenchtown for 10 years. And some of my first acupuncture patients, they still come to see me. And I didn't see them straight for 10 years.
Right.
But maybe I saw them for a couple years and then everything was good. And then I didn't see them for a year or two. And so it really depends on what person. You can almost think about it as like peeling away an onion. someone that's coming in for, you know, as one thing, one, their main complaint goes away, they may realize, oh, you know, there's something else I want to work
on.
Then something else goes away, and there's something else. And then people that just, they feel good when they're doing acupuncture. So I have some people that I see once a month, and I've seen them for 3 years once a month.
Right.
And they just say, it feels good. It's my one thing that I do for myself for prevention. And you help keep me in check, you know.
Hey.
And
what works, you know.
Yeah, so you know, some people go to yoga classes. Some people take their daily vitamins. Some people go for acupuncture monthly. Some people, you know, some people do a little bit of everything.
That's right. So we have about 3 minutes left. You wanted to bring something up.
Well, I talked about the community acupuncture, so that was the main thing. But that was our two locations. We have our location in Lambertville. And we also have our location in Flemington at the Hunter Regional Community Health Building. And in Lambertville, it's at Phillips Barber Family Health Center.
Barber.
Phillips Barber.
It's an eye doctor?
No, it's the primary care office
in
Lambertville.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
Yeah, it's a primary care office in Lambertville. And for any practitioners out there, too, we are beginning to do professional continuing education. So for nurses, we just hosted a Reiki class with a Reiki certification, and the nurses get CEUs for that. And we're starting in June a Healing Touch certification class. And nurses and massage therapists can receive continuing education hours for that. And we'll be continuing hosting continuing education, professional continuing education programs.
If someone wanted to schedule an appointment, how would they go about it?
They can call our phone number. It's 908-788-2572. And my wonderful assistant, Ashley, will answer the phone. And she will get you on the schedule and help direct you to the practitioner that you would like to see.
Why don't you give that phone number again?
It's 908-788-2572. And you could also find us on the Hunterdon Medical Center website, hunterdonhealthcare.org slash integrated medicine.
Tamara, I can't thank you enough because I just find it very interesting, and I'm just, you know, overwhelmed that it's, you know, all the negative isms I've heard about acupuncture, you dispersed.
Oh, wonderful.
So I'm serious because, you know, like painful needles and so on and so forth. And it wasn't. I didn't feel a thing.
Yeah.
Yes, they tell me I have a high tolerance for pain, but, but you know, I didn't feel a thing. And normally I would feel the needle go in, like if they're taking blood. It doesn't hurt, but I could feel it going in. I didn't even feel it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I think it's awesome. I really do.
Thank you. Thank you. And I hope to see you down at our center at some time.
Well, yeah, yeah. And, you know, if you ever walk in the main door of the hospital on Fridays from 8 to 12, I wave to you because I sit there as volunteer.
Oh, okay. Oh, good, good,
So you've been listening to the Hunterdon Behavioral Health Hour. I'm Larry Cartwright. And like I said, I filled in for Richard G., who will be back again next week. And we were very privileged to have Tamara Bariska?
Barisha.
Well, one out of five. You know? And she's the director of integrative medicine, and we've been talking about acupuncture. And, folks, it doesn't hurt. She did it to me, and it didn't feel a thing. Okay, thank you so much, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. The retired surgeon made it official, telling his hometown crowd in Detroit that he wants to be the GOP nominee.
I'm Ben Carson, and I'm a candidate for President of the United States.
And another Republican hopeful, Carly Fiorina, also declared her run today.
If you believe that it's time for citizens to stand up to the political class and say enough, then join us.
Fiorina is a former technology executive, and former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee is expected to announce his campaign later this week. The FBI is investigating the Phoenix apartment of two gunmen who attacked a security officer at a community center last night in the Dallas suburb of Garland. It occurred during an event featuring cartoon depictions of the Prophet Muhammad, according to Officer Joe Harn.
Police officers that were nearby saw what was happening and engaged the two men and shot and killed them.
At least one of the men, Elton Simpson, may have had links to terror groups. This is USA Headline News.
For 20 years, you've counted on Lumber Liquidators for the quality flooring you want at the low price you deserve. So So we've lowered our already low prices on some of our best hardwood floors. Why pay over $3 for laminate at big box stores? We've got solid pre-finished hardwood from just 99 cents. And gorgeous premium quality Bellawood pre-finished hardwood and bamboo for an incredible $249. More deals from 49 cents and 24-month special financing. For beautiful, safe, and high-quality hardwood floors for less, see the experts today. Visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you.
Hi, here's your delivery from Staples.com.
Thanks, Staples guy. My office is starving. Got any snacks?
Staples has pretzels, granola bars, energy bars, trail mix, all at a low price.
Nuts?
Cashews, almonds, pistachios, pecans, walnuts.
Chips?
Potato chips, corn chips, whole grain chips, gluten-free chips.
Whoa, that's a lot of snacks.
We also have antacids. Tablet antacids, liquid antacids. Make on budget happen. Make break time happen. Staples, make more happen. Now at Staples, get a 42-ounce bag of M&M's milk chocolate or peanut candy for just $8.99.
Offer valid on SKU 689508 and 689504 and 523 while supplies last. See store at staples.com for details.
The UN High Commissioner for Refugees is speaking out about the growing migrant crisis in Europe. Carlotta Sammy says that the escalation